Well, Charlie, it's as always an honor to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm overwhelmed with everything that's happening.
Well,
thanks to you.
Oh, hardly thanks to me. You keep saying that, and that's just so wrong, Charlie. It's all because of you. I just maybe shined a teeny flashlight in your direction, but believe me, all this attention and good words are just because you so deserve it. So it's very nice that we could get together today to sort of celebrate in words how wonderful you are.
Yes, it is. I don't know how to express my thanks to you for making this last chapter of my life the most interesting.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. And frankly, I really feel like I'm doing a public service, because the more people that get to be in contact with your art, the richer the world becomes. And
thank you.
All of your fellow Cincinnatians here have a very great pleasure upon them with this beautiful show that opens at the CAC on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a place that I never expected to have a show too, I will have to say.
Well, to me it makes perfect sense that you're there. I can understand, as being one of the great forefathers of Cincinnatian design, that actually who's reach has reached all over the world. I can see how maybe it might not felt like it would happen, but it is indeed happening, and how marvelous that it is.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think when you first heard that you were going to be featured along with Malcolm Greer and the stunning Ryan McGinnis?
Well, when I first heard that I was going to have a show at the Contemporary Art Center, I couldn't believe it. and I kept saying to the curator, Toby, you sure you want to have this show? And he kept saying, yeah, yes, I am, more and more.
Well, believe me, it took no convincing whatsoever. Now, you're a bit of a treasure here, sort of a secret treasure, the fact that you've been living in Cincinnati since 1948? Amazing. So you've seen a lot of changes here. And I think what's so remarkable is that you have been working consistently in your studio here in Cincinnati for 65 years, Charlie. That's incredible. What do you account to your longevity in this remarkable career industry? How shall we refer to it?
I don't know. I can't explain any of that. I've just been fortunate in meeting people who wanted my work, and then other people saw that and wanted it too. And I've passed from hand to hand and from one art director to another all these years and always kept busy.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, because, I mean, having had the pleasure of showing your work or presenting it to people that weren't familiar with what you did and watching their jaws drop open and their eyes pop out their heads, it doesn't surprise me that it worked out for you like that. Now, one of the things that, besides your remarkable skill set, Charlie, is your consistency. One of the tenets of a great artist is his consistency through time, and that's something that you have in spades. How do you account for that?
Well, I think it's because early on I gave up realism completely, because I felt it was not leading me anywhere. Just reproducing something the way nature had made it already was not giving me any kicks. and then I started simplifying everything, and I've done that ever since. I work flat, hard edge, and simple. And instead of trying to put everything in, I try to leave everything out. and that works pretty well.
It sure does, because, you know, I know in your head and your research indicates that you're an Audubon painter. I know that you never change the forms or the colors or the shapes. And, I mean, they're as precise as photographs actually.
Yeah, well, I try to get all the facts right in the picture. I don't want to vary the colors or vary the habits of the creatures that I'm painting, and I try to find out all about the subject I can before I start to work.
And how do you do that research?
Oh, I've got more bird guides than anybody in the country.
Well, you know, I learned something from you about those bird guides and the fact that you research all of them simultaneously, because every artist has rendered them a little bit differently.
Yeah, this is true. I find working on birds that every artist will show me a little something that the others haven't. And so I've made a point of always looking at all of them, all the renditions of particular birds that I can find.
Well, they certainly come out wildly authentic. The fact that, you know, we can totally understand exactly what the bird's nature is like, what they look like, but not just the birds. So many of them, I mean, your touch is united no matter what you're drawing.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can share information so precisely and vividly with so few gestures is really astonishing. And I don't know anybody else that has that ability. Mm. It's really something, Charlie. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure a lot of the listeners might be familiar with how you got your start, which was right here in Cincinnati.
Yes, I went to art school here and met my future wife the first day in life drawing class.
And that's the lovely Edie.
Yeah. And then I was drafted into the Army in the second year. When that was over with, World War II, I came back to Cincinnati and finished my training and won the first Wilder Traveling Scholarship that the Art Academy awarded.
Wow.
And I had all that money and no wheels, so I proposed to Edie because her father had an old Chevrolet.
Well, I bet there was probably something more to that story than her just having a car.
Yeah, there is. But we went west on one of the finest honeymoons you can imagine, to the West Coast, down to L.A., over to Florida, and back home in 4 months.
Wow.
4 months. We camped along the way to make the money last. And it's where I came to grips with the idea of simplifying, because you have to simplify a Rocky Mountain to get it on a piece of paper. So that's where it began.
You're so practical, Charlie. Well, one of the things that astonishes me is the way you're so humble and so very gracious and kind about the way you approach your work, and anybody that's a fan, because basically I just knocked on your door till you let me in. So thank you for that, by the way. But the way that your eye seems to see things that nobody else's eye see. Let's look at the Grand Canyon piece. Okay. That's a remarkable piece that is a tapestry of incredible geometric forms and hot pinks, oranges, and golds. Now, I've been to the Grand Canyon, and as big as my imagination is, it didn't quite look like that. So how does it look like that for you, Charlie?
Well, I just picked out the most dominant colors and featured them. And they happen to be orange and reds. And certain times of day, there are different colors. But and then there are great forms that the mountains inside the Grand Canyon form, going up and down with curves of all kinds here and there.
You just layered it in so beautifully. I mean, you totally captured the spirit and the awe and the slightly precariousness of being right on the edge of that canyon.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Well, thank you.
But one of the things that always startles me is when you approach a landscape is these beautiful modernist approaches, and then we see this little car that actually is a Model T.
Yeah. You know,
it's such a paradox to see this modernist approach and a Model T stuck in the middle. How did that come about?
Well, that came about because I was working for Ford Times. One of the most astonishing productions that any corporation in this country has ever produced.
And it was a lifestyle magazine that Ford Motors put out, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was based on the premise that if you show someone lots of interesting places to go, maybe they'll go there in the Fords.
Didn't it?
It worked.
And you worked for them for how long?
For 20 years.
20 years. Well, I guess you had a hand in making sure America traveled well.
Yeah, that's true. And their art director was a really good art director. He just handed work out and said, do it. And that's what you want.
So he gave the artist freedom to express themselves.
And he gave me a lot of interesting projects to work on, lots of freedom to do it. And one of them was showing early Model T Ford cars in early touring situations. And that's how that came about. I showed them in the White Sands in New Mexico, and
that's a great
Saratoga
piece.
Springs, New York, in front of the Grand Union Hotel, and various interesting places that people might want to visit.
Well, I've seen one in the Brooklyn Bridge, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one in California also?
Yeah, there was one in California when people used to drive to California just to dip their front wheels in the Pacific Ocean and turn around and come back.
So you touched both waters?
Yeah.
Wow, I wonder if Ford had anything to do with that. It certainly sounds like the ultimate wish list for a car manufacturer. We'll talk people into driving coast to coast and not staying.
That's right.
Well, in addition to those illustrating those situations, you did tons of maps, which I think is just fascinating because maps are so dry and kind of dull today and hard to read.
Yeah. Well, that can be pretty interesting if you have something happening on the map, something historical or something scenic that occurs somewhere on the map, you can fill up a lot of space with those pictures.
Well, I liked the visual cues, and maybe I'm just a bit of a rube, but I really loved it because I could kind of tell how to read them in a different way than just trying to connect A and D to find my point. Yeah. Now, Charlie, you have done so much through the years, and your show at the CAC that opens this Friday celebrates a good 65 years of that effort. But looking forward, which I hope you are, what would you like to do? What do you see in your future?
I want to do more environmental paintings to save the world, if possible. I'm working on global warming, and my latest effort is a cardinal sitting on the head of a polar bear, which kind of sums it all up.
Boy, does it ever. I'm sure it's very touching, that piece, because at once you're touched by how seductive the animals are, and then you realize the situation, and it just kind of gets you in the stomach.
Yeah, so that's for the rest of my life.
Well, you know what? Thank God you're approaching that, because we need some people that are going to focus on this, and I'm happy that it's you.
Yeah.
If you can share that information, the world will respond in an entirely different way, Charlie.
Well, I think if you, instead of preaching, if you add a little bit of humor to the message, you reach more people, because people respond to humor much better than they do to information.
Well, I'm with you there. Boy. Charlie, I really wished you were president. Do you have any time to run for president? I think something's up in a couple of years. So we can make some calls for you if you like.
Oh, that's a stretch.
Well, I think anybody that joins your beautiful artwork at the CAC anytime in the next couple of months will be on my side in wishing that you were president, too.
Okay. You think they're really going to have that show?
I promise you, Charlie, that show is opening. It's going to open, and everyone's going to get to enjoy it. Charlie, thank you so much for your time today. It was, as always, an honor to be with you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Todd Oldham with his good friend Charlie Harper, whose art is on display at the Contemporary Arts Center. A collection of Charlie Harper's life work from 1947 to 2006 will be published in a book by Mr. Oldham in the spring of 2007.